telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord replied to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. 19. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. This is the word of the Lord. I will invite Jolie to come forward. Let's pray, short prayer with for the service and with Jolie. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity here today to worshiping you, to meditate your word. We thank you also for the presence of the of Jolie here, which will spread your word, and please we pray for him, for his help, and also his you empower him so he can transfer what you have said to us. We pray also for the family, especially for the recovery of Josiah, and that he can also join for the next time with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. I've been asked to wear this because I move around a lot.
Amen.
Can't move the whole pulpit with me. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see you and everybody here. Let me just say something. This is a wonderful church. And if you are here looking for a home church to be part of, I would highly recommend being part of the Stavanger International Church community. So, there you go. Brought my glasses with me. It's a sign. Yesterday, last Sunday, we've been talking about lessons we learned from the life of Moses and Moses' own relationship. But why are we talking about these messages? What's the purpose behind this? Every time when God speaks to us, many times we as Christians, yes, I've heard that before. Sometimes God throughout the history, many times that he would say and repeat the things that he has said throughout generation to remind his people of his word and his truth and his ways, because we are people who forget things, amen? And many times he would bring about in terms of remembrance, he remind us. But we talked about how God called Moses, and the first part of Exodus speaks of God's calling on Moses, and also the deliverance, the word redemption and salvation appear on that first part from chapter 1 to chapter 18. And then when we go from chapter 19 to 40, we see that there's these two passages, two chapters, the beginning, the first part from 1 to 18, where they're in slavery, and then Moses delivered them. And then in between that was the experience in Mount Sinai. And that is when God made a personal covenant with the nation, with the people of Israel, that they become a nation. So in this covenant, he gave his commandments, 10 commandments and 52 or 53 other commandments regarding worship and social justice. So that was, so as we look at after the rescue of people from slavery, God was the one that initiated that covenant. Israel agrees, yes, we want to be part of this covenant. And so God promised that in this covenant that he will personally take residence among his people, that they shall be called his people, and wherever you see the people of God move, there is God's presence in the midst of them. And so this is not only just a story that is separate from the beginning, but it is a... Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Camilla. But we see here as a continuation of God's promise to Abraham back in Genesis. Can I put this one? Back in Genesis, when God said, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curse you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Then we see that continuation here in Exodus. Now, we are also part of this, but Galatians says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Fantastic, yeah? So we see here also another promise that God gave the Israelites. And he said, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So we see this events beginning to take shape, the promise, and now hundreds of years later, the descendants of Joseph and Abraham, Jacob, Isaac and Jacob, and then here we have the Israelites out of Egypt. They have multiplied and they've populated the land. Pharaoh was threatened. God raised Moses. And that's the person that I want us to focus on. It is the relationship that this normal person, just like us, have with the God, with Yahweh, the God Almighty. And so what happened? We've come to the other part of Exodus. On Mount Sinai, Moses delivered them. And they've witnessed the power of God in his deliverance, bringing them out of slavery. They are no longer captive, no longer slave, but they're going towards the promised land. So they came to Sinai, and that's when God made a covenant, as I mentioned before. And everybody say, yes, we will agree. We want to be part of this covenant. And he gave them, of course, the Ten Commandments. Now, something happened after that. The same people that said, yep, I'm in this covenant. They disobey the very covenant that they made with God. And in chapter 33, we see here this amazing man, Moses, pleading on behalf of God Almighty, yeah, for something very important. Now, what happened was, excuse me, when they sinned, God was so disappointed with them. But he said this, let me just say this. He said to Moses, you go, you take these people, the people you brought from Egypt, you take them to the promised land. Yeah? So he still keep his promise. I will still bless you. I will still take you there. But listen here. My presence will not go with you. I personally will not go with you. I was at the hospital with my son. He had a surgery, and it's the first time I've seen him experience intense pain. He didn't handle that very well. So after the surgery, I turn up, and you can just see the swollen face and the tears in his eyes. Dad, you know, he didn't say, but the was coming from his mouth. The relationship I have with my son, my presence in that room means something to him. And when I said that I'm leaving, you can tell in his expression, without saying a word, don't leave me. Don't leave me, Dad. Remain here with me. Moses, longing is not just the blessings of God. It is that the presence and the company and the companion of Yahweh with his people. Amazing, yeah? He said, somebody else will go with you, Moses. For Moses said, nothing can substitute your presence. Your personal presence with us. So you read in 33 the cry of Moses. So the people of Israel, they forget God's plan of redemption and they pay allegiance to an idol. That's what we did. We saw. They put an idol, they make an idol of the gold. And unfortunately, there was Aaron, the brother of Moses, you know. He was right there in the midst of it. Okay, let's build, yeah, let's go for it. Let's go for it. Moses came down full of rage. The betrayal that the people have, the covenant that they've made with God. Not only that, but the fear of the consequences of the justice of God upon them. They have made an agreement with God. So God was angry. And the thing he did, it was to abandon the covenant that he made. And we read here how Moses asking God, please don't leave us. We don't want to leave this place without you. Don't let us live without your presence. And it's amazing. One of the most powerful words that stood out to me, was this. See, Moses' relationship with God. He is familiar with his voice, his direction. He's familiar now with his power. But this verse here is amazing. He said, now if you have found favor, if I have found favor in your sight. And he said, show me your ways so that I may know you. And found favor in your sight. There is a song that says, show me your ways that I may walk with you. One of the ways that we may know God is understanding his ways. Moses says that. Many times there is a temptation for Moses and the people to go ahead and do and try to accomplish the purpose of God on their own. His presence is far more valuable than the milk and honey of Canaan. That's what Moses is saying. If you don't go with us, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but have not let me know whom you will send with me. God said that he will send an angel with them. Moses said, you have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways that I may know you, that I may continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation, they are your people. He began to remind God again of his promises. So Moses interceding for this group, he said, stiff-necked people. Stiff-neck is a term used for farmers when donkeys and cows and bulls doesn't want to cooperate with them. It's more than just a stubbornness, but the willfulness, the willingness to deliberately go on your own. And that's the challenge right now with Moses, is that God will deny the sense of his presence, or at least it's amazing that God is always true to his words, his promises. Because the people of Israel, they could easily take the promised land. But they can take the promise without the presence and the favor of God. So Moses came here and he sat down, he went before the Lord and said, show me your glory. And amazing. I've watched Ben-Hur, which is one of my wonderful movie, classic movie, and probably Moses, directed by Cecil B. DeMille. And as kids, we would watch this and see all the effects. But I wonder what it's like. Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? And the Lord said, I will do the very thing you have asked me because I'm pleased with you, Moses. And I know you by name. Moses said, show me your glory. It's amazing that when he said, show me your glory, God showed him his name. The Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy in whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion, but you cannot see my face. Then the Lord said to Moses, so the back and forth, the two of them, this mortal being just like you and I, communicating with Yahweh. It's amazing that Moses has, finally Moses convinced God through interceding, asking and pleading God's forgiveness and mercy over the people, over their rebelliousness. And then God said, I will go with you. I will go with you. Even the people, when they heard that God would not go with them, it was like bad news that God, Yahweh, the Almighty God, will not accompany you to the promised land. That is not good. He says that they mourn. They went and they cry out and put on and consecrate themselves. The whole message these last 3 weeks is about us renewing ourselves. It's about you and I recognizing, just like God promised Abraham of what he's going to be, that he, that through him, the nation, all the nation will be blessed. And God's plans of redemption, as we see here, Moses, the foreshadow of Christ coming as the Redeemer to bring us back from our spiritual slavery and bondage to freedom and eternal life, that on this plan, even today, there is your part and your relationship with God. Right there. He said to Moses, for I know you by name. We come from different backgrounds. We have our own way of doing things. But there is one thing that brings us together. That is God's word, bring us to realign ourselves with him, for us to know him. One of the ways that we grow in maturity is knowing not only God and the things about God, but to know his ways. I remember I pray, I ask God a lot of things. I want him to bless me, bless my family, and this and this. And most of us do that. But sometimes I wonder, how does God do this? Because we are the recipient. But do we know how God works to bring about his promises and his deliverance in intervening on our behalf? Do we know what will hinder or will stand in the way? Moses says, show me your ways, O God, that I may know you. And one of the ways of knowing God is knowing his ways. God's ways is always right. Amen? When we do things the right way, when we do the right thing the right way, when we do the calling of God the right way, is part of us growing to maturity in knowing God. Psalm 25, it says, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. And in verse 12 and 14, who are they that fear the Lord? He will teach them the way that they should choose. They will abide in prosperity, and their children shall possess the land. And this verse, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes his covenant known to them. Through Christ, God has opened up the door for us to have relationship with him. Our faith in us moving away from what we used to, and we're running to God and embracing his grace and his mercy over our lives, and the choice we made that we will follow him for the rest of our lives. God has opened up that door of communion and fellowship, because all those who are his, God gave them the right to become children of God. He gave them the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And that is you and I. I want us to be reminded again today in this last message of new beginning. What a way that we can start the year. When God dealt with Moses, he called him separately. There is something when God takes us in our private place, a place of consecration. When we see how Moses, what he did, he used his tent as a place for God to dwell. And all the other people, this was before building the tabernacle of Moses. So Moses was enter in tent, his tent, and all the Israelites, they're standing on the entrance of their own tent, far away from Moses. And they saw Moses walk inside his tent, and then the immediate glory of God came down and filled his tent. And then after that, Moses will step out and he will give the people. Yeah. So when they see the clouds came down, the presence of God, they went down on the, they kneel and worship Yahweh. This is an amazing thing. So the people also, they are familiar with the presence of God. So when they heard that because of the rebellion of those that rebel and worship the idol, that God will not go with them, they know what they're going to miss out on. They know the protection that will be lifted upon them. They know the provision that will be lifted on them. They cry and mourn because they know they have seen the deliverance of God. And that we want, there is no way we will live without that. There is no way we are going to live the rest of our lives, even in the promised land, without the presence of their God. That comes to us today. As we close, how much do we want of God this year? Do we just want to see him answer our prayers? Or do we want to grow in understanding who he is and his ways and how he does things? Many times I find myself stuck physically or emotionally or longing for a breakthrough. And I have come to a point that I have asked this question to myself every time I come to that dead end. I wonder how God will deliver me from this. This year, just like Kari mentioned the last time, is going to be a wonderful year for many of us. Why? Because of God's promise. There are difficult times, but it takes courage to allow God to come to that place of consecration. It takes humility. But the fruits and the blessing of it all cannot be measured to anything. He said, "Show me your ways, O God, that I may know you." I pray that that will be our prayer, that we will do the things that God has called us in our family. You know, I asked permission for my wife. We were talking in the hospital the other day, yesterday. You know, we've known each other for 20 years. We've been married for more than 10 years. You know, I'm still learning to know this amazing lady. So it is one of my long-term goals is to become an expert in knowing my wife. When she's not pleased with me, she doesn't need to open her mouth. I know it. I have learned to know my wife. And sometimes we have to pursue it. Even you live in the same house. Yeah? There is. The biggest model of our relationship with God is also reflected on the people who are near us. Sometimes I thought, what will I do to just get her? I know how to do funny things and she will laugh herself to death. So that I'm good at. But to touch her heart, that place that would bring tears to her, contentment and fulfillment, I have to work hard. So our work is laid out for us. It's the same thing in our relationship with God. Get to know him, know his ways. Amen. Let us pray together. Father, we want to thank you today for your word for us. In the midst of our being right, in the midst of our own way and how we do things, help us to understand your ways. Help us to grow to mature in knowing your ways. Thank you for the privilege that you pursue us, you made yourself known to us, to humanity, so we can know you. Help us to pursue you the same way. We thank you. In your name, Jesus our Lord. Amen.
We're going to continue our work.